In case anybody wants to know, I'm having some good old coffee here. I always had a question about coffee, you know, when you're out at camp, you can make a pot of coffee and have it sitting there for a week, and you heat it up and it tastes better. You're at home, it never happens. The reason I bring that up, because today I'm talking about cowboy poets. Kind of poetry that is in touch with the land, open prairie, all those ideas of freedom, a lot of the Texas poets, the origins of country music, began in three places, basically. Country music, well, four. Country music, especially, started out with gospel and blues type of music, people that worked, the cowboy poetry, the Appalachian poetry, of people like the Carter family, the different songs, you name it. And the fourth one, of course, would be a lot of these people that just put it all together and decided they were going to do it in a folksy sort of way. But to me, growing up, I always considered cowboy poetry to be something I really always liked and felt an aspiration to try to write like. It isn't so much of a ballad as what one might think. Cowboy poetry is about everyday things, from working on a range and the ranch to all that, being on a range. And then you go into writers like Zane Grey and other authors who wrote a lot of poetry in their work. You can say their work was poetic, okay? So I'm having some coffee here today because I heard that... I woke up this morning, heard Jerry Jeff Walker passed away. And that really, really hit me, because I haven't followed his work, I'll be honest with you, the past 20 years. I used to listen to him a lot more when I was younger. But Jerry Jeff Walker, I first heard about him. I bought this CD of various different singers, and among them was Jerry Jeff Walker singing Mr. Bojangles. So I had all these, I believe it was True Country, and I listened to it, and I'd heard the song before. I'd heard Sammy Davis Jr. play it, and it so happened I had it on one time when my Uncle Dan would come over and help us. He's passed away now, too, but he'd come over and help us with stuff. He helped us fix the house a little bit, do a couple of things around here. He was all around good at everything, be it your car. Danny knew his stuff. And he'd sleep right across these two chairs here. I don't know how he did it. The guy could sleep just about anywhere he wanted to. He could sleep standing up if he wanted to. I don't know how he did it. But he liked to listen to music. He liked to listen to music from the 50s when he'd grown up. He liked to listen to country. He liked Alabama. He liked all of them. And I had that one on. He said, "That's Jerry Jeff Walker. He wrote that." And it got me interested in some of that style of music. It was a lyrical type of music, but it was more of a storytelling. When you listen to a lot of the Jerry Jeff Walker type I'm thinking of, a lot of it is a storytelling type of music that you would have heard 150 years ago, heavily inspired by cowboys and being on a range and traveling and all that. So I got into Jerry Jeff Walker, and I bought a lot of his albums. I think my favorite ones were Gypsy Song Man, the one with Kerouac's Last Dream in it, the Luckenbach Reunion, Mr. Bojangles, of course, and his greatest hits. So I had five of them that I would listen to. And I'd go through, I'd listen to all different types of music. I'm personally, I listen for anything from bagpipes to Jimi Hendrix to Willie Nelson to Jerry Jeff Walker to heavy metal, you name it. I like it. So I had a various collection at the time, including even Conway Twitty. And my various tastes in music would be tough because if I travel, a lot of times people would say, "What do you have to listen to?" And it's like, "Wow, that's really different from this." Yeah, it was. Not too many people have Beethoven and Jerry Jeff Walker in the same CD collection. But I liked it. I liked his music a lot. And I was just thinking about him last week because I was thinking, there was a song. I was trying to think of the name of it. Somebody had asked me about it. And I said, "Yeah, I think it's a Jerry Jeff Walker song." And I said, he's had a few albums out since, but I really haven't gotten a chance to listen to them or buy them. And I wake up today and that's the first thing I hear is, it comes right across, R.I.P. Jerry Jeff Walker. And I just went, oh man, because it's this whole year. Last year we lost a lot of people, but this year, John Prine, Mr. Bush here the other day that wrote Whiskey River, he passed. And now Jerry Jeff Walker. And there's so many other people. There's been a good many this year, especially with this pandemic going on. And it's just been like, there's a depressing nature to it. But we got to keep the music alive. We got to keep the stories alive, and we got to realize just why we respect these people. We respect them for their honesty. Jerry Jeff wrote, I think one of my favorite songs of his was "The Gift," where he talks about growing up in a boarding house and his grandmother for his birthday. I believe it's his 13th birthday, buys him a guitar that this guy never learned how to play. And it gets Jerry Jeff into where he's expressing himself and getting into music, and he's playing, and it gives him an outlet, and it changes his life. It's a beautiful song. And it gets into where he has problems with alcohol, he has problems with all the stuff that comes with fame, and he goes back to the guitar and says, "Wow, this is what really started it." It's a very thought-provoking song. It's a very much a testament to his life. And I was thinking about that today too. I wanted to post a link to it. A lot of these on YouTube are probably not on there by copyright. I do not know if it's okay to share the link or not. I'll listen to it, okay? A lot of that music's free. I, as an artist, can understand it's a double-edged sword with YouTube because you're getting free publicity for people to listen to your music, and it keeps it alive. It also, though, could be where people can get it for free and you're not making any money on it. And as an artist, you want to make money at it. A lot of people, I believe, Bob Dylan and a couple other artists have really cracked down on it where they don't want their stuff on there. And that's understandable 100%. But when I'm sitting there like today, thinking of somebody, I really want that song on. It's nice just to have it available like that. And I don't subscribe to any of these big music download sites or sharing or anything, which is probably the best in between for people. Like if you wanted to have something where you could just listen to it instantly, like Spotify. Pretty awesome. I had it for a while. They started to get a little bit costly, and I didn't use it as much as I used to when I would drive. But it was Jerry Jeff Walker kind of day. And you got Jerry Jeff Walker day, and then you got the other things that come with it, which is people like Jimmy Buffett. And you think of the whole hill country there in Texas. You think of the history that inspired him and why he got into writing. Think about his grandmother. You think about Hondo Grouch. And it's just a tough one today. It's a tough one for a lot of us in that are fans, that are whatever we are. I don't believe in the word fan or music or artist, all that stuff, fame, superstars. Jerry never called himself that. He had that song, "I make money, money doesn't make me." That's why I always liked the guy. He was about as true in what he did as anybody. But what he was, I would classify him. He had a lot of big hits, but I would classify him as a cowboy poet. If you look at the songs of his that you don't think of being huge hits, the ones you hear in the radio a lot. The ones you hear a lot on the radio are ones that people will replay because they're usually ones that'd be on the jukebox. Mr. Bojangles, ones like that. The second tier of his work, which I always consider it with artists, the second tier of work that they have written themselves is another indicator because it's what's killing a lot of albums lately. You haven't it used to be you'd have an album anywhere from 12 to 17 songs on it, and you'd have your greatest hits. In the old days, you'd have a oh, sorry. In the old days, you'd have a record, and you'd have some coffee here. The opposite side, the B side, would have the B side tracks. There was nothing B side about them. It just was that these weren't the overproduced ones. These weren't the ones that were marketed as big hits. The CDs and records, you had the full size records, full albums, you had a lot of the songs that were B's on there as well with the hits. And you had like Taylor Swift just released that concept album. Willie Nelson did a lot of concept albums. I think he did the best concept albums were probably Pink Floyd and Willie Nelson. But all these musicians, all these artists, when you get to the core of who they are, it's the ones that you don't hear all the time. Jerry Jeff Walker had many of them. A lot of them you will find when you see a live performance or the lyrical side of his work broken down. I think the one Little Bird, it has all that 70s, early 80s feel to it. When you get down to the cowboy poetry, and that's what he was. He was a down-to-earth, lanky cowboy poet that wrote on probably a lot of his songs he read on napkins, knowing him. I don't know that for certain, but these are the type of men I grew up around when I would go up to camp with Tex. And I've mentioned it before, so I want to kind of ease off away from Jerry Jeff here for a bit and think warmly of him because he passed today, and I'm thinking more of those type of men. I want to honor them because there's not many of them left. My older brother Mark one time said to me, "We're going up to camp up to Erie," and I wanted to go up to Erie because there was a girl up there I liked. I kind of had the feelings for her. And at that time, I didn't understand women. I still don't now. I think, kidding. I think poetry was what I threw about. It was like, hey, I'm gonna write a poem, and this girl's gonna fall in love with me. I'm gonna write like Jerry Jeff Walker or whatever, and we're Khalil Gibran. But he said, "We're up to Erie." So okay, so I really haven't gone too many places with my brother Mark. He's a little eccentric. He's fun to be around, but he can sometimes get you in some pretty weird situations. So I'm going up to camp, and I've never met this man, Tex. Okay, never. I knew his niece, Roxanne, and she was an old friend. And so we go up to camp, and it's me and Mark at dark, and we get up there, and there's a note. And it says, "Hey, pals, I won't be around for a little bit later." He went to the bar or something. I forget what the hell he did. But I'm just sitting there at this guy's camp. And it's a pretty nice size camper, almost a trailer type of deal. Old 70s style. There's all this cowboy stuff. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, what's this guy going to be like? And Mark's telling me, you know, Tex tells a lot of jokes. Tex is a cowboy, stand-up comic. He's a songwriter. He's famous and all that. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, I just thought this guy was just named Tex. I didn't know he was a famous songwriter that knew George Jones and Tammy Wynette and all these different people, you know. So I didn't know what to expect. And I meet Tex. He comes in and he's this older guy. He's an old Navy veteran. He's a songwriter. And he's got this dry sense of humor that you don't know what to expect. And he can hit you with a silly joke or something off the wall funny 15 different ways. And just in a most serious moment, you'll be doing something and he'll just say something and it just makes you laugh so hard your sides hurt. And I dealt with that. And that's why I really got into my writing as a writer, was meeting this famous cowboy poet with Brother Ed and George Jones and all these other famous people. There's the guy that wrote that song, What Part of No Don't You Understand? And Tex said to me, he goes, you know, he says, I wrote a song called I've Been a Cowboy for 30 Years and Never Stepped in Shit. And he says, that's, it made me laugh. But he says, you know, you like to write. And yeah, I like to write. At that time, I was just a kid, you know, I wasn't that great of a writer, I don't think. I do like my older stuff. I look at it and it's honest and genuine. So they were all talking and they were doing their thing. They wanted to go to bars. I wasn't young, I wasn't old enough to. I let them do their thing and I say, I just came up to get away. I want to see this girl. We always got caught up in someone's dog that was left loose or trying to find it or talking to the different neighbors and all these people because it was like a campground type of deal. And we'd walk down this road to the, just talking about Roxanne here, she's texting me. Walk down the road to the lake. It's like a little path. You go down so far, and it was a drop off, and you'd have to climb down, and there was a pier where the guy who owned a campground, his dad and him back in the 1920s, would funny, but you'd go down, and they'd run alcohol in the 1920s during Prohibition. They'd sneak it over, so it was a neat little situation there. And so I would go down along the lake, and there was a cliff. So I'd sit there and I'd start writing some of my poetry. And Tex was always open about it. He said, you know, whatever inspires you, write about it. And if you want me to read it, fine. If you don't, you know, keep it to yourself. Yeah. And he'd tell these jokes the whole time. All these jokes that I can't even remember half of them. Some of them are pretty dirty, but they were pretty good. And I got to sit around and listen to these men play their guitars and write and listen to what I'd write. And I was nowhere in their league, okay, at the time. But they saw potential in me and they gave me the encouragement to want to be a writer, and they taught me in that style that I still kind of use at times of that cowboy poetry, the idea of the freedom, the idea of the open range, the mentality of not being tied to all the things that bog you down in life. And if you listen to a lot of the poetry that Tex, Jim Austin was his real name. He would write a lot, and it was very moving and very touching. I've seen him a couple times, personally and publicly, where he really taught me something important and inspired me. Number one was when Ed Wedge passed away, whose father had been a neighbor of mine, ironically. And I later found out we had all these different connections that Tex's best friend was Ed. And I'm sitting there, and we went up, and Tex says, "Hey, I'm going to read a poem here." He says, "I wrote this, I'm going to read it at my buddy's funeral." And I saw the name, and I was like, wow, what's the chances of that? And it was the same guy. And he started reading this poem, and he broke into tears talking about, in this very lyrical, poetic style, about what this friendship meant to him his whole life. And I was wiping the tears away myself by the time he finished. And he told me, if you ever have the opportunity to write something about someone like that, it's one of the greatest honors you can ever have as a writer. And I've unfortunately had that a couple times. A professor of mine had passed away, Randy Keske, and they read a poem I had written at her memorial service, and a few other people that I was taught at that time why you write that way and how to compose your thoughts. Jim really showed me through what he wrote there and being around him the way as a writer you have to be effective in honoring that person's life. And he always said to me, you know, he read a couple of the poems that he had written about people in the past, but he said, you know, when you do something like that, sometimes you're best not even putting your name on it and just saying a friend wrote it. That's the cowboy code. That's the code that you always remember your partners. You always remember your friends. You never turn your back on them. And you don't find that too often in music today. You don't find it too... People, there is a little bit of that left, but not like there used to be, unfortunately. That code And then the other time was Jim's retirement. He did a couple stand-up jokes, and there were all these people, hundreds of people showed up, and they wanted to honor him. And he told a few jokes, and I got to really see Tex in his best prime, because usually he worked night shifts like I do. He worked him as a security and did performing during the day, so I'd always catch him when he had just gotten home, gotten 2 hours of sleep, was half asleep, still telling hilarious jokes. But in his prime, when he was awake, not tired, and was on stage, his jokes were a dry country wit that you had to love, and it kept with me the rest of my life right there. He would always have a way with his words. He'd say, you know, as a joke, like he'd throw something out there like, you don't say nothing. He'd just out of nowhere say, you don't say nothing. And he'd catch you with a word. And he'd play that into his act the whole way through it, that you would have on two or three levels, every joke interlacing with the other one, but still being real simple and just solid of the earth, beautiful. His poetry was like that. His music was like that. We went down to Fayette County, and my brother Mark and Tex and me, we joined the Old Time Fiddlers Association. I doubt if many of those people were even still alive. I think Tex was probably in his 70s at the time. I was probably about 18. And these people were in their 90s, and they had amazing bluegrass talent and the original country music. So we got to kind of perform a little bit. I didn't do as much. I was a little intimidated because I'm surrounded by a lot of these people that even if you would play Garth Brooks, they wouldn't want to hear it. They wanted to them country was Carter Family, bluegrass, gospel. Okay, that was it. And they'd been playing for 50, 60 years. So when I go up and down three chords, even now I'm not that good. I didn't feel in my comfort zone. And I kind of let them do it. We were still, we called ourselves the three black snakes from hell. And some of the stories I wish I could tell. It was a time in my life, but I watched my brother Mark and Tex get up there and play. Tex played lead. He does beautiful old Martin. And I was entirely impressed by the man. I saw his classical training in a guitar that complemented his writing style, the cowboy poetry. And Brother Ed as well was funny and was a good songwriter, and I even had a teacher of mine that I didn't like in school that showed up and was there with him, and I'm like, really? He's your friend? And he's like, yeah. And I said, look, the guy, I said, you know, I never liked you in school. And he said, I'm glad you didn't effing like me, is what he said, because he said, I didn't want to be there. He says, you're a camp, you're one of the boys with us here, don't worry, he says. And we had some good times with those guys, and of all of them have passed on. And I look now today and see Jerry Jeff Walker. And I think of all those songs: "Railroad Lady," "Night Rider's Lament," he did a lot of other songs, were covers too. Really, really touched me today. And think about all those cowboy poets that dying off, and this younger generation isn't into that. But if you get a chance, you know, all you kids out there, and you want to learn how to really write in a storytelling type of way, look up some of these. You Google it, you'll find a lot of different names. I'm not going to tell you listen to this guy or read this guy or whatever. You find what you like. Find your style. Don't say, hey, Will said to go and listen to Jerry Jeff Walker or Jim Austin or, you know. You go, you find what you like in that style. Some of it's going to be things you don't like. You can look too at the Australian drovers like Slim Dusty. Phenomenal, phenomenal poet. Phenomenal. Very much the same thing. It's just, they're all about freedom, and they're all about the very values we all stand for, that America was founded on, and Texas. Texas was its own country, so you find that, and it's going way back to the Alamo. In the 70s, there were a lot of covers of songs that tried to sound like cowboy poetry, because everybody wants that. What's the jewel, okay? Not just as a musician. Everybody has it. And I'm not totally considering them cowboy poets, but Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, Willie Nelson, Tom Petty, Waylon, Hank Williams, original, Red Sovine, okay, Boxcar Willie. What did they all have that the people don't have today? They weren't musicians. These guys are people that write poetically. Okay, they've got what the Appalachian poet, the cowboy poet, the Australian rover, the gospel blues, the old stuff has, writing about the real things. And a lot of that is the natural surroundings. A lot of that is about daily life. That connects in a very deep way. So read it, you know, get out there, read some of those classics. You don't have to read Shakespeare, as much as I love Shakespeare, and I think he's probably the greatest poet with his sonnets, stylistically. I love the country wit poetry. It captures an image so well. So Jerry Jeff Walker, thinking of you tonight, wanted to make this podcast. It's a little bit, I'm at a loss for words in a lot of ways, thinking of, we're left with this phenomenal amount of music he's made in his life, and what a great family man he was, and father to his kids, and my heart goes out to all of them. Really somebody that I grew up listening to. Wasn't one of my, you know, wasn't somebody I it wasn't somebody I styled myself after or tried to hold way high on my shelf of CDs. He was somebody I always went back to. Whenever you wanted to go back to a certain feeling, it was a Jerry Jeff Walker song for it. It was fun. It was fun. And yeah, he's going to be missed by a lot of people. We're losing our songwriters. And the most important thing we can do is to pass on to the younger generation why and what made them effective. I had that being around a lot of these people. Not Jerry Jeff, but Tex and all those other people, George Jones, and it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing to see why they were effective as artists. And each one of them, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 100 years from now, people aren't going to be going to a jukebox maybe, but whatever technology they have at the time, they're going to be reading what they wrote, listening to what they said, and it's still going to resonate. That's what's truly effective. So I want to give a shout out to all those people out there that are aspiring to be writers, and get you a Jerry Jeff Walker CD. Get you some Mr. Bojangles. Love you, Jerry Jeff.